Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's another week. That means it's another edition of Inside Lion Athletics. I'm Charlie Chitwood. We got Jim Curry here right off the bat. Everybody's fresh, feeling good, coming back from Florida. Jim, not all of us got banged around a little bit in that game, but wow, what an experience.
Great experience. Ready for some light competition, though.
Yes.
Let's just call a spade here. You know, the bye week came at a great time.
Yes.
Right? And so we're excited about being able to kind of just reset, recharge. We got some bumps and bruises, but nothing too crazy coming out of the last couple weeks. So it's going to give us a good opportunity to reset. With that being said, just reflecting on the last couple of weeks, one great experience for, our student athletes, our programs. I mean, it's just, it's easy to get caught up in the score,
mm-hmm.
and I get that. But I think still when those guys tell their kids the story about how they saw the spear plan and the war chant and everything that goes with it, because that was it was pretty packed in there that day on Saturday. No one will really remember the score. And so those are the types of experiences that I think transcend the scoreboard.
Mm-hmm.
And, at the same time, too, we had guys that had opportunities to put things on display. I mean, if people kind of caught maybe some of the social media traffic, a guy in particular, LaVon Williams, caught the attention of some folks in terms of just his effort and the way that he plays the game. And,
mm-hmm.
and those are opportunities that our guys get when you're on a stage like that. It's also an opportunity to, just get resonance with the brand.
Mm-hmm.
And, we can aggregate all these different things in many different ways and shape it and what have you. But the reality is that over the last 2 weeks, what we know is that between all the different kind of media hits in aggregate across all platforms, the East Texas A&M brand is out there more than 50 billion times. Billion with a B.
That's right. The reach.
That's the reach.
That's the total audience that was within every
Correct.
Time that brand
right.
flashed.
And then when you even just kind of break, so that may be so big that people can't even understand how it works, right?
5'7",
right.
Jim, come on.
Yeah, but, just to kind of maybe even compartmentalize it a little bit more, we know that on social media alone, we had over 100,000 engagements with our brand.
Mm-hmm.
Through all that media. So, when we talk about the unique hits that we get in terms of our reach, that's every time they say our name on a national TV broadcast that has 500,000 viewers on it, or a globally syndicated article that has a reach of $100 million people that says our name one time and it aggregates over time. It's in some way it's hard to think, how does that even happen? But there's nothing more powerful than Division I college football.
I don't think so.
There's nothing more powerful. And I was, kind of sharing this, a little bit earlier. There's a reason that TV networks pay the Big Ten $1 billion a year, for college sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to kind of consume a little bit. And it still doesn't, we still obviously want to, we want to be in a position to win some games and things like that. But we certainly can't discount what that means from, the reach and the exposure for the brand, because it is powerful. And you can go on social media over the last 2 weeks, whether it's here locally in Texas or across the country, and see 1 million people say, I didn't even know East Texas A&M existed.
Right, because they don't recognize the name change.
They've said it. They've said it on social. This is not me saying it.
Right, right, right.
This is them saying it. But you know what? They know now.
They do indeed.
They know now. And so now it just becomes a question of how do we continue to kind of leverage this and as we move forward. And, it's important that we have brand resonance, and we're going to continue to pour into what we're doing and continue to elevate this brand and be in a better position to compete for championships down the road. So it's just, it's exciting in that regard as well, but make no mistake about it. Ready for FCS play.
Absolutely.
Ready to look ahead to Grambling. Really? And but again, certainly don't want to minimize in any way what this kind of meant over the last couple weeks. We'll kind of throttle things down the next few years as well. If we look ahead, Tulsa next year,
mm-hmm.
a group of six opponent, Louisiana Lafayette, a group of six opponent, North Texas after that, group of six opponent. So, this made a lot more sense when it was the last year of the provisional status. We weren't postseason eligible.
Mm-hmm.
We're just trying to get our name out there. We got a new name. We're a new, relatively new Division I institution, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We need people to know our brand. So it worked. I think it worked.
I do, too.
You know, it worked. And, you know, some days are better than others, you know, on the respective playing surface. But,
you talked about the different, I mean, anybody saying anything about it. I think one of the more interesting, I don't know who these guys are, comments was one guy that columnized about, you know, we don't know who they are. Where is this school? I mean, he like halfway looked into it, and he found famous alumni mm-hmm. that were not from the sporting world. I don't know how yep. he got to one list that didn't have both, but
yeah. Well, again, it doesn't the power of the platform.
Right? Yeah,
the power of the Division I platform, and you know, again, but also too the rich tradition of success that we enjoy, not just in athletics but as a university.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to dig very deep to start to find some things that really stand out. You don't have to dig very deep to see, man, this is a school that is on the rise. This is a school that is investing. This is a school that's growing. This is a school that's now R2. This is a school that's now D1. This is a school that's just an hour outside of Dallas. What?
Yeah.
Like,
look at all those cranes.
Right, and everything going on. So it's just, it's just a great opportunity to kind of help get people to tell our story. You know, we looked at it even just from media or just a website traffic hits this mm-hmm. past week. So we were 10x on Saturday on just Lion Athletics website hits than we were on a normal day.
Wow.
You know, a random Tuesday in the summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we look at the press conference hits for the post-game press conference that Clint had that, you know, we produce internally, put online,
mm-hmm.
it, you know, we normally will get a few hundred. We have a few thousand that have viewed that. And if you go in and start to read the comments, too, many of them are, hey, man, really appreciate you guys coming out. Really appreciate you go. Classy program. You know, this coach has got it. I'm rooting for you guys. Like, that's the type of response that we've gotten out of this. So I think it's easy to see the scoreboard and say, oh, everything's negative. Mm-hmm. This is a bad story. Yeah, there is. We lost the game.
Yeah.
We lost the game. But there's so much positive sentiment out there as well. And you know, again, and there's some just neutral sentiment. We mm-hmm. can see in the reach reports what the sentiment looks like from both the positive, negative, or just a neutral perspective. Most of it's actually more neutral than anything else. But again, what we do know though is that East Texas A&M is much more front of mind to people than it was before.
Outstanding. Job well done. All right. I know Coach is ready to get on to FCS, too.
Heck, yeah. I think we all are. Let's be honest, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, again, you just wanted to give some people a little bit of insight in some of the strategy here, but then also how we've kind of looked ahead,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we originally intended to be past the reclass process. And actually, next year, again, we haven't announced this yet. It's not done because we're still finalizing a few things, but the game is set and we'll be on national TV to start against an FCS opponent. So, you know, that's a way for us to kind of pull at it both ways to get some national reach, some national resonance,
mm-hmm.
but also maybe kind of stay in the FCS space and maybe be in a better position to win the ballgame.
Good deal. Yeah. Can't wait to hear about that. But, you know, we've still got, let's see.
Well, there's 10 more games.
10 games, yeah.
And, you know,
we're fighting.
Hey, now we're in, right?
We are not in a warm-up friendly anymore.
No, it's all good. It's go time now.
Hey, anything else about the FCS? I mean, didn't you say something about y'all already, y'all being the athletic directors of the Southland Conference, already getting on to football scheduling for next year?
Yeah, we've already seen a shell schedule. We got it yesterday. Again, just to be able to get some feedback on that. Most of the league's non-conference is set for next year. We're going to play 9 conference games, so that's different. So, you know, Nichols
we haven't is
seen
back.
We haven't seen Nichols for years.
They've never been to Commerce.
Right. That's right. They haven't
they
been
haven't.
Here. I don't know if they have been. But or maybe
oh,
the,
okay.
oh they came no they came yeah my first year here they came
okay
actually we played them pretty well too
they it was were, SFA we skipped that yeah, that we, first year that's yeah. what
so
that was.
We'll see Nichols again you know again the league has had a couple good weeks here too you know the big TV game that we had in conference on week 1 or week 0 Lamar picked up a big win this past week You know, there's been some out-of-conference wins that have been pretty good for the league. And so we're, now it's our part to kind of contribute in that as we look ahead to next week and the week after. So, you know, again, we talked about Southland football, Southland Conference as a whole. It's continuing to grow. Again, 9-game conference schedule coming up, 3 non-conference opponents because now we're in a full 12-game slate mm-hmm. as we look ahead. That was just supposed to be 24-25, and then we were supposed to actually move back down to 11 mm-hmm. in all of FCS. Now different, so with the addition of the 12th game, we added the 9th conference opponent. So we'll see everybody now, and again, looking forward to that. So one guarantee game, 2 non-conference games that we'll do home and away, and then we'll have a rotating slate of 5-4 home game to road game with the 9-game schedule moving forward.
Okay. Yep. All right, last question about football before we move on. All right, we played SMU, we played Florida State. Which one's going to win head to head?
Well, they don't play head to head, but
which one would? Yeah,
that Florida State team's really good.
They're stacked.
They're deep. You know, I had the fortune of being there during a time when they were winning national championships in football,
mm-hmm.
Competing in the college football playoff, and that team is built like those teams. There's just no doubt about it.
A 4-win team last year?
2-win
team.
Two-win team. They didn't all come back.
No. They got some different ones.
It's up front. I mean, when you look at their offensive line, you know, they got over 100 combined starts on the offensive line just from this 5 starters alone. The D-line, it's different, man.
They were rugged.
It's the speed, though, too. I mean, you know, there were some things we were doing really well early in the game, too. Maybe controlling a little bit of the ground game, making them work for it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the explosives. But they've got explosive players. And, you know, when you got a 6'7 receiver that runs like a deer, and then on the other side, you got a guy that runs like a 4'2, 4'3, and as shifty as all can get out. And you got a quarterback that can run and throw it, and you got an offensive line with 100 combined starts across that. That's a hard matchup for anybody. All right. It ain't going to be a tough matchup just for us. So, you know, we saw what they did against Alabama
mm-hmm.
and where they physically dominated that game against Alabama. And then we'll look ahead to see, you know, they got a bye week and then they're going to play Kent State at home. You know, I know the folks at Kent State. I know their AD really well. He's a good guy. But maybe I should send him some warning because, they're good. They're really good.
Take Band-Aids.
Yep. So kudos to them. They've got it. They got it going.
Well, before we get on to, you know, on field stuff, why don't we wrap up kind of all the administrative and scheduling going on in the league too? Basketball schedules,
are
completed
yep.
now,
yep.
including times.
Not yet on
not
times.
Yet?
We're still
okay.
figuring that out. It's you know, it's going to be different this year because we have break games this year at home
mm-hmm.
During the winter break. So that week between Christmas and New Year's, we will have multiple basketball home games here. So if you're looking for something to do, when we get the schedule out, make sure to pencil it in. There's some opportunity there. So as a result of that, we are trying to be a little bit sensitive to tip times. You know, we may look at a little later tip time on Saturdays to give people a little bit more clearance on their Saturday morning. So that's something we're exploring right now.
Mm-hmm.
Really excited about what's happened in the offseason in basketball. I know we haven't gotten to that yet, and we will, but I think folks are going to see a very noticeable difference in what we're doing there, and there's going to be some excitement there, I hope. I mean, there should be, is what I should say. So we're trying to make sure that we give an opportunity for people to consume basketball, too,
mm-hmm.
On busy weekends, get more kids out and more families out. And so those are just some things we're trying to be really sensitive to as we put together the tip time. So so more to come there, but the schedules themselves are set. And now we're just finalizing tip times relative to everything else that's going on as well.
Yep. Very good. Yep. And, hey, do we have first pitch time for OU softball
in the fall? Yeah, we just put out the fall schedule for softball. Again, excited to bring back Oklahoma. So grateful for them and the opportunity that provides. You know, that game alone last year had almost 30,000 viewers for a fall scrimmage, you know, on the digital broadcast, which made it actually one of the highest broadcast events in the Southland Conference across all sports last year.
Holy cow.
It wasn't the highest, of course, but
yeah,
I mean, it was up there. And, you know, so we're excited to bring them back. Again, we sold out of tickets in 3 hours last year for that. So season ticket holders, guaranteed. We'll open it up to our athletics donors after that in about a week, a week and a half or so. And then we'll open up to the general public. You know, the grandstand seats, you know, and kind of the chair back in the bleacher, mm-hmm. those went, like I said, they went very quick last year. And so if that's something that you're interested in thinking about, think about season tickets, think about a donation to the Lion Athletic Scholarship Fund.
Mm-hmm.
Those will get you some priority access into those tickets. If you got to wait in line for the general public, we're already getting calls from Oklahoma folks. So I can't make any guarantees if we get
it's
we
a
get
competition
that far in the process.
All the way around.
100%. But we're going to try to take care of our people first, obviously, though. We're going to try to take care of our season ticket holders that are invested in that program, mm-hmm. take care of our folks that contribute to athletics first, and then we'll open up to the public from there.
Well, you got it. They will take care of their people first.
They're coming down. We're taking care of ours.
Exactly.
That's right.
All right. Avi, what's the date on that game?
October 7.
October 7. That's a Tuesday?
Tuesday or Wednesday? Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah, October 7. 6 o'clock, and they'll go 10 innings again like they did last year.
Okay.
Yep.
Great stuff. OU is coming to town again.
Again.
Again. So what else is up? Future scheduling. We got some golf happening.
Yeah, it's golf season. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of weird
to think,
right?
Some cross country
happening. Cross country's going. Golf teams, they got started this week. You know, I really like what Brian's doing. They got a good group on both sides. He's really been building it up. You know, women's golf, obviously back-to-back runner-up in the Southland Conference. Mm-hmm. You know, interestingly enough, the 2 years ago when we finished second, Augusta was still in the league as an affiliate member. Augusta's now out of the league, and they only compete in Division I athletics and golf.
Okay.
So, you know, having them no longer as an affiliate and how they kind of put their emphasis there, I think opens up some opportunities for us. And so I like where that group's headed. It's a great group of kids, and Brian's doing a really nice job. He's got a new assistant this year as well. But, you know, the men's side, they brought back a lot of production from last year as well, added some nice pieces. So excited for them. We've started to grow the schedule a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We were very kind of regionally focused here in the last couple of years. We're still doing that, but now we're getting out a little bit. We sent the guys out to South Carolina this past weekend to get a little bit of play out there, see some other teams. And, you know, I think by and large, off to had a pretty good start to the season. So they'll get four or five in this fall, and then they'll take the break in mid-year, finish up that season in the spring, and then have their competition or their championship in April.
Okay.
On every other week. But it's hard to believe that golf's off and running. So right now, I mean, in essence, the only teams that aren't going like kind of full go right now are the two basketballs, track and field, and then obviously softball's about to crank it up here. Their fall schedule is that starts in October. But it's hard to think that we're kind of all in right now, but we're pretty much all in right now.
I think we're all in right now. We're just going to line up. I don't know any better way to go out.
That'd be a good way. We're all in.
We're all in, and that's it. Well, hey, what a great week. What a great 2 weeks. They were tough losses, no doubt, for, you know, just a pure football fan. Oh, I hate to see the Lions get beat like that, but they were so much more in the SMU game, and Florida State was Florida State.
Yeah, no doubt. Again, like, just continuing to grow the brand. Like, if we're not leveraging this platform to get greater resonance of our brand out there, then we're not taking full advantage of the opportunity in front of us. So, again, great experience. I'm glad it's behind us. We got the benefits of it that come with it, and now we look ahead and we really kind of have. It's kind of funny because with the bye week this week. You know, I was even talking about this with Clint. I almost feel like it was a little bit, I don't want to call it preseason,
mm-hmm.
but it almost feels like two different seasons,
mm-hmm.
right, where we get that part of it out of the way, we take the break, we reset, and now we're in championship focus now.
Yeah.
I mean, so I kind of like the way it's set up a little bit, and I'm excited about where we're going. There was a lot of good things on the field out there. And in the last couple weeks, I know it may be hard to see when you kind of look at the scoreboard, but there really was. And I'm excited about some of the guys we get back. Ron should be back here soon. A couple other guys that were banged up either in the offseason or banged up out of the SMU game. Mm-hmm. Excited to get some of them back as well. So, you know, I think we're ready to kind of get into that next phase of the season and look ahead to what we've got in the Southland Conference.
All right. There you have it from the man. Now we're going to lines up, and we're going to be back in just a minute with more on Inside Lion Athletics. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to some more of Inside Lion Athletics. Charlie Chitwood here. I've got Joe Morales. We kind of squeezed him in early because he's got places to be. But, Coach, we got to talk about places we've been.
Yeah.
The volleyball team is fresh off of that trip out the greater Phoenix area. A multi-team event at Grand Canyon U. How'd it go out there? Y'all were playing up in weight class too.
I think it was a great weekend for us. I think, going into it, we're playing a lot of young kids, so they get to get their feet wet pretty quickly and in it. But I was joking, like you can tell when they're walking into an arena and they have all their phones out because they're playing in such a big capacity arena. I mean, in Grand Canyon, I mean, they pack it in anywhere between 4,000 to 8,000 students. I mean, the student section was just rocking. The band was there. Like the intro looked like a Final Four intro, like, you know, the lights. And so they get to that experience a little bit. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, it was a good first road trip because as the next ones come in, they're going to be used to it. But it was good. We played three teams, three solid, amazing big teams. And so I thought we played really well through each and every game. I thought we just did better and better and better.
Outstanding. Well, it was Grand Canyon, the host, and then Northern Arizona, and then against Washington State. Y'all almost got Wazoo.
Yeah. Oh, man, that was such a fun game to coach. The kids were really enjoying it. Everybody was loose. And I mean, you had Grand Canyon like staff out there that's like, oh my God, like you guys are like you. I mean, the head coach came up to me and told me like, Joe, you're going to be really good for conference. Like you are coming along. Like what you did to Washington State, like you had them on the ropes a little bit. You had opportunities. You're going to be just fine. And I think that's where we're going. I think that's the reason we do this, right? It's like, we want to compete at the highest level and we got to get our bearings in it. And, all those three games were tough. They were tough opponents and they're bigger and they're faster, you know? And so we're getting there, but we're competing just fine. We're not defeated, you know, we're 0-6, but we're not defeated. Our kids are like, morale is like, they know where they're going. They know where they're at. They understand the schedule. They understand what mm-hmm. we're doing. And we're ready to, you know, when conference is here, we're going to be ready. We're going to be really, really ready. So I'm excited about that.
Outstanding stuff. Hey, one of your freshmen talking about getting ready. You get the younger players along.
Yeah.
Jade Washington, you're one of your liberos. She's making a little bit of a name for herself real quick.
She is. And, she's pretty much, you know, have garnished that position a little bit. And I mean, every coach came up to me afterwards and just like, wow. And so the number, you know, it's one thing when you get better or you see improvement in kids. It's another thing when you just come in making a splash. Like the numbers are unreal what she's doing. Like those are, you know, I was talking to Avi and even my staff, and you know, I believe she's in the category for top three or number one in digs per set. I mean, I think we calculated at 6.1, which is, I think the first one right now is 6.0. And so, you know, she had, I think against Northern Arizona, 37 digs in a four setter, I think.
Okay.
I mean, that's phenomenal. I mean, people were chanting 40, like that's, you know, you don't get to those numbers. And so what she's doing, she's making a splash. I'm excited for her. You know, she's a freshman, so even more down the road, it's just going to open up a lot of things right now for us. And so she's playing at a high, high level right now.
Well, you're not done playing at a high, high level because I look at what's coming up. Let's see. In 2 days, you get to go to Colorado State, and then you will face Notre Dame 2 days later in the same arena.
And then, you know, why come home? Let's go to Iowa.
Yeah, we're, like I said, the schedule is tough. Colorado State is, it's, you know, I'm excited about that one. I think each and every time we're up in the ante, this one's going to be even tougher than this past weekend. I think, you know, Colorado State is a high RPI team. They're always in the tournament. You know, they got a 6'7" middle out there. And so they're pretty big. So it's going to be a fun environment. I think we're just playing loose and knowing what we do really well and how we do it. And then, of course, you got a Jade Washington in the back helping you dig those big swings. So it's going to be exciting. I'm you know, excited to see what they do, what we do against them. And then we go play at Notre Dame, you know, ACC.
We're familiar with that league.
Yeah. So they're big too. And they're, you know, I know the coaching staff really well. I've known her for a long time. And it's going to be exciting to play. Just playing. I mean, and that's what we're here for, right? That's why when I took this job 3 years ago, this is the direction I want to go into. Mm-hmm. And by, you know, next year and the following year, like, that's what I want to be at. It's now on the W column against East. And like, this is the direction we want to go. This is the direction we want to be at. And I think we're getting there, and we're competing, and our girls are not backing down. And so I'm really excited for these two games. And I love the fact, like, we're only playing, like, Grand Canyon, we played Friday, we played Saturday, one game Friday, one game Saturday, one game Sunday. This week, we're only playing one game Thursday, one game Saturday. And I think that's a little bit better on our bodies, a little bit better for us. And I think a lot of teams are doing that now. They're not playing three games in a week. It just, with the travel, and it's just, it wears and tears on you early on. And so we want to be nice and fresh and fresh for conference. So, you know, the next 2 weeks, we're only playing two games a week. So, yeah, it was planned like that on purpose. So we're pretty, you know, but so we'll be ready for conference.
All right. Well, the conference opener is on Thursday, the 25th of this month. That's only a couple of weeks away, plus a day or two. Houston Christian, and that one's going to be at home. How nice, how much do you love getting to open at home?
Well, I'll tell you what, I was looking at the calendar, and like, after the Iowa trip, we come back that Saturday. We'll take Sunday off, and then we got to turn around and play on Monday at home against ACU, Abilene. Mm-hmm. They always have return trip, but I wanted to put that game in there to get us some continuity going into conference.
Right.
You know, like, I didn't want to go a whole 3 days, 4 days without playing and then go into conference. So we're going to have that Monday game to be a little bit of a more spark plug with some continuity. We'll, you know, we'll have Tuesday, Wednesday to practice, and then HCU on Thursday opening conference. And I'm really excited. And so, like, if you think about it, we're going to be home Monday. We're going to be home Thursday. We're going to be home Saturday, a whole week of being home. So
nothing like sleeping in your own bed, is there?
Yeah, oh, 100%. Can't wait for the conference tournament. Like, that's the plan, right? You know, got to make it, got to get there, and then enjoy the benefits of it. So,
Joe, how's the team really shaping up? I mean, how are we looking up front? We know we're taller. We're not quite as tall as some teams.
I'll tell you what, the Grand Canyon coach, Kendra Potts, came up to me and he's like, we're watching the Wazoo game, and she came up and she made a comment. She goes, you know, we played you first. You did really well. I thought y'all competed really well. And then we saw you against Northern Arizona, and I thought you even did better taking a set from them. And then we saw the Wazoo game where y'all had an opportunity to win. And she said, Joe, your blocking is really good. Like, even when we were playing you guys, you frustrated our kids with your blocking. I mean, we're so big on that. You know, our right sides, our middle, and, you know, just what we're doing along the net. Yeah, we're getting bigger. We're getting more disciplined. You know, I thought Jade had a great game, of course, you know, and then and then our hitters, you had MJ on the right side, our 6'3 right side, who I think hit close to like 200, 300 against Wazoo. You had Peyton Roper, the athletic right side kid in that position, who hit like 400. And then you had Gracie Campbell, who was hitting 200. Gracie's carrying a load, of course. She's a scorer. She gets out there. And then, you know, our transfer kids are, you know, we had Zoe come out, and she's getting a feel for what it is now and getting more comfortable with it. So we're excited. Our middles were finally getting some scoring in there. And, after the second set of Wazoo, we were hitting 300, and they were hitting 230. So we're out hitting them. Like that means we're earning points at that point. We're not just like letting them make mistakes.
Yeah.
So between our blocking and what we're doing offensively, I think it's shaping up. I'm really excited. Like you said, we're getting bigger. More to come for that for sure.
Okay. Joe, we could probably talk about this week for a while, but man, we're going to get everybody else on.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Let's go.
Hey, man. Y'all have a great trip, both all of them that are involved in Colorado and Iowa, and we'll see y'all when you get back home.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, man. Let's line up here. Folks, we're going to take a break here and come back. Joe Morales and the Lion volleyball team doing some good stuff. See you, Coach.
See ya.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Some more of Inside Lion Athletics. We've got head coach Ashley Gordon of Lions Soccer here with us. Coach, man, pre-conference games are a challenge, but by design, are they not?
They are. They are. We always schedule teams that's going to help prepare us for conference. And, you know, we've done just that. And coming off of a weekend, Thursday was a bit rough. But, you know, we had a good performance for 84 minutes when we played against UT San Antonio. And unfortunately, the game is not 84 minutes. It's 90 minutes. So just have to minimize some of our mistakes. But, you know, I was proud. And from a statistics standpoint of winning first and second balls, we went into Sunday's match that was in rough conditions, by the way. We had all warm up in first half. It was raining pretty heavily, and affected vision and so forth. But you know,
slowed some of them down too.
It did. So we were, but we came out fighting. We were behind 1-0 at the half. We had gave up a goal really, really early, and like I said, we need to minimize those mistakes. But statistically, you know, our team, you know, our number one goal would be in the column of first and second balls. We have to be able to win that battle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, you know, you can control. And, you know, we came out, and I was proud of our numbers statistically in that game. Didn't, you know, necessarily give us the win. But at the same time, you know, we fought hard for 84 minutes. So now we prepare for OSU.
That's right. You know, and I know it's just we go week by week, but you just don't have to go back very far to see that 1-0 win over Abilene Christian. And that's kind of a big game around here.
Yes, yes. And of course, yeah, the week prior, you know, beating Grambling and beating Abilene Christian was huge, something to be able to build on. And so we're going into to OSU, and OSU's 3-3-1 on the season. They've got to obviously travel here. We played them last year. You know, I'm pretty familiar with certainly their team. And, of course, we watch a lot of video and, you know, expecting a specific formation in which, you know, we've had to make some adaptation to going into tomorrow's game. But it's going to be a great match.
All right. Tell us a little bit about what do you know about Oklahoma State right now?
Well, like I said, they're a good team. They had a loss against Rice, which I thought was kind of surprising. And then, you know, they had a tie against, of course, Nebraska. They've been kind of all over the map. They lost to Mississippi State, but they turned around on Sunday and they beat Oral Roberts 1-0. And Oral Roberts is another like opponent that, mm-hmm. that we see every single year. And it was a pretty competitive game. You know, I think for us, it's a matter of how can we make OSU uncomfortable? And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we've got individual players that certainly can put the ball in the back of the net. But, you know, going into this game, we have to minimize certain mistakes. And we tell our team, and we've talked about it even this week,
mm-hmm.
you make one mistake, another team, you know, a good team is going to punish you for it. And, you know, we've got to minimize mistakes, really.
Oklahoma State's picked in the Big 12, top half, bottom half.
Well, I mean, like I said, they're kind of all over the map right now. They started on a preseason poll where they were 22 in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've fallen out of the top 25 in the country, and so you know they're always a contender for a championship in the Big 12, and so. We look forward to playing them and hosting them here, and so we're excited about the game. Again, when we schedule these games, we're not afraid of anybody. It's how can each one of our opponents make us better, and give us 7 days of preparation after OSU, heading into conference play against Lamar.
That's a whole week, Coach. That's probably about as. The best gift you can get because you got time to rest people.
Yes.
Some folks are going to get healthier.
Yes, we've had a number of players that have been out, at one time where we've had three defenders out. And, of course, when you're looking to prepare your team and and you're having to juggle the lineup and formation due to injuries, that can pose a problem. But so we're looking forward to, after this game, getting a few players back into practice, which is going to be important. And, of course, since we don't have a Sunday match,
mm-hmm.
we're able to gain two practices. So that's great. So healthy players, more training, get prepared, get our bodies ready to go to compete conference.
Have you looked at Lamar beyond seeing their name on the schedule yet? You might want to be done with Oklahoma State first.
No, we want to. Yeah, we're looking at the game in hand, which is tomorrow.
Right.
But Lamar's a good side. They're a good side. They've picked up three international players, which I think has been impactful within their starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
One in goal, one in the midfield, and one up top. So I think that they're a better side than they were this past year. But at the same time, we've gotten better, and so. I think all the teams in the Southland continue to get better. And so, but we just look at it one game at a time.
And, this is something that's happened in our process, getting all the way into D1 within the Southland conferences. This conference has gotten better almost every year we've been in it.
Yeah. No,
bringing some folks home that had left for a little bit.
Right. And it's, when you're looking around, I mean, Stephen F. Austin picked up a tie against A&M. We've had, obviously, we had talked about before where Northwestern, had a win early on over an SEC school. And
mm-hmm.
so, I think for all of us in the Southland, you have a chip on your shoulder and you just want to get after it. And so, certainly with our team, that's the way we look at it. It's put your head down. You got to get to work. You can't overlook anyone. You just got to work hard. You got to outwork the other team. And so, our preparation going into OSU, like I said, is from a defensive standpoint. We need to get prepared to play against a different formation that we might only see once or twice during
mm-hmm.
the year. But at the same time, how can we make OSU uncomfortable?
How are they going to attack? What do they do that makes them so different?
They play in a 3-5-2. They're obviously very athletic all over the field. Very, very athletic in the back with the three, but with two outside, wing backs that get up,
mm-hmm.
it can cause problems defensively, for any team. And so, they've taken a few knocks in regards to injuries, but like I said, player for player, they're gonna be tough and they're gonna compete. And it's their last game prior to going into conference play. And so as coaches, what is the lasting impression coming off of non-conference heading into conference play? And you want to know where your team is at because at the end of the day, your first conference match is important. It certainly can set the tone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Just like that. And folks, soccer. Hey, let's talk about the game. The next one up, Oklahoma State is here tomorrow.
Tomorrow, 7:05 kickoff. It'll be on ESPN Plus as well. And so I know we've got a huge fan base that's coming out, and we're excited to play.
All right,
at home.
Good deal. Cowgirls and Lions. Lions hoping to eat cowgirls. We'll find out.
That's right.
Very Lions good. Up, everybody. Lions up. Hey, thanks for tuning in. We got more coming up on Inside Lion Athletics. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to some more Inside Lion Athletics. We've got head coach Clint Dalzell. Man, what a trip out to Florida that was. Coach, it didn't go the way any Lion fan would want, but we're still proud as heck of them because there's a lot of good that comes out of a matchup like that. And now you got both of them out of the way.
Yeah, we are glad they're behind us for sure. No, the score wouldn't, dictate me saying that we did some good things, but we really did. You know, you take away a couple on defense. You know, the first drive, we had them in fourth down twice and actually stopped them both times and had a late,
call those Banderas Mysterio.
Yeah, very, very late. Actually, we thought they ran a play, so how could you even look at that play for a targeting?
Yeah.
But they did, and they said Kyrie had, lowered his head. Pretty questionable, in my opinion. And then they get down to the one and on fourth down, and we stop them. We stuff them, and they lined up in the neutral zone. So, a lot of good things in there from that. And, offensively, we had our hands full. We had a tough time blocking the box, which is understandable. They were very large human beings on that side of the ball and very, very good football team. We felt our head and shoulders were better than SMU, so tough matchup.
Tell you what, Florida State might be one of the big stories this year at the FBS level because they were not counted on much coming off of that two-win year last year.
Yeah.
But I think they did a little shopping.
They're definitely still being slept on. I mean, I know everybody looks at what they did to us and dismisses it, but it was how they did it and who they did it with. They did some of that with their backups, which we just talked about how good they were, too. Their second string was just as good as, we felt as SMU's first string. So, they're gonna cause some problems in the ACC. And overall, I feel they'll definitely be in the playoffs.
Well, Lions can get into the playoffs as well, just at the FCS level.
Right.
And that's the goal this year
because
now we are unfettered by the chains of our transition.
And we're excited about it. We're in years past, since I've been here, it's all been about conference and let's get to conference and let's see if we can cause some trouble in our conference and win conference. Now it's, these non-conference games, which, exception of SMU and Florida State, these matter.
Yes.
We got to be, Grambling State to get a good nod down the road, a good football team in North Carolina Central coming after that at home. So you win those games if you can win them a certain way, and then if you're, let's say, we're second in conference, let's just say that, then they look back at those games and say, okay, well, they handled there and somebody else played them here and only won by this or got beat by them.
Mm-hmm.
They matter. And so, that's we're second season now. We got 10 games before the playoffs.
It's all about building a playoff resume.
That's right.
Extra rings are good, but you want to get to the postseason.
That's right.
Where the real fun is. Hey, quarterbacks, we were still deep in the depth because Ron Pease isn't ready to go. How'd the guys do? There was a stretch of the game where you had Erod out, but it wasn't because he was beat up. It was a matchup.
No, he was beat up.
Oh, he was beat up.
Yeah, he had to get stitches.
Wow.
Yeah, so he came out of the game, and I thought Will Madonna did a great job. He drove us down and – something you take for granted, on your three-step slants and, there's a miscommunication and a guy steps right in front of it when it can't happen.
Yeah.
The receiver's got to cut that off and, we're making quick decisions because we're in shotgun. You got to cut it off and it's not fun, but it's not an interception. It's at least an incomplete or a bang-bang play we can catch and, get 5 or 6 yards. And, we did that twice in the game and that's just big no-nos.
All right. So, also, you brought in, and forgive me, I'm forgetting his name.
Jack.
Our Fresno State guy.
He did good. Calm, cool, collected. I was impressed, very, very impressed with how he handled himself on the field. They had their, I don't know what string in at that point.
Right.
But, we kept them at bay, and they weren't even close to him on some of our play action and hit two really good deep balls, which we didn't, come close to besides that in the game. And looked very poised, and with exception of running the wrong route on third down there, we probably had a chance to score a touchdown there and get 7 on the board. But you know, again, pleased with our special teams coming in and making basically a chip shot field goal, Oslo.
Special teams are through the first two games. Got to love what you're seeing. Meehan is putting a good foot into the ball and flipping the field as punter. And then Oslo, he whiffed on the first one, but he's made everyone since.
He has. You know, I'm definitely impressed with that. It'll only get easier. I mean, if you can protect against that, you know, against FBS high-ranked opponents, then, you know, should be pretty cake the rest of the season, you would hope, right?
You would hope.
You know, and I think even with Ben, you know, our punter, he felt a little rushed at times. Yes, he's averaging a little over 40 yards, which is good, but we need a little more hang time. I think he's, you know, he's mishitting those, and they're catching the ball with us not down around him, and they're getting some yards out of it. So, you know, get him feel comfortable, put a little more height on it, and we can get down there and cover a little bit better.
All right, let's talk about, I guess you got extra time to get ready for Grambling. Are the Tigers playing this weekend? Who do they have?
They are. They are playing. Oh, my goodness.
And Avi Leftis.
Dang it,
Avi. He knows everything. God.
They are playing an opponent they should probably beat.
Okay.
Doggett, I want to say West Georgia, maybe, possibly. I'm not 100% on that on top of my head. I know they played Langston up to this point, and they played, obviously, Ohio State and – took a pretty good thrashing last week.
A lot of things they got their eye dotted, didn't they?
Yeah. They got a little more money than we did, I think, over is what I'm hearing. So I'm sure their band was paid for to come down shine too. So yeah.
That's something else. So how's it gonna what's the process gonna be when you have the extra time on somebody? Are y'all gonna have a team watch party of the Grambling game?
No, we won't. We'll have something available for that. No, we're working. We have an extra couple days, one to get healthy. We've still got some guys pretty beat up, but maybe we can get two or three of those guys back for, you know, because of the bye week. We'll practice one more day tomorrow. We had a light practice today, a heavier practice tomorrow, and, you know, have that good prep. And, you know, it showed, you know, having that much time for SMU and being ready for them, how much better we played versus just a week for Florida State. Now with 2 weeks with, you know, Grambling, and we feel like, you know, we can put a good product on the field.
Gosh, going over to Eddie Robinson Stadium, that's kind of, you know, hallowed ground in college football, isn't it?
No doubt. Yeah, it's going to be exciting. They've got a big, beautiful stadium, too. I mean, it's going to be packed, and being homecoming as well,
it's
going to be loud. You know, the Grambling Band, they've got a lot of tradition there, and it's going to be exciting for us.
How's this team looking through your eyes after these two games? Are they grading higher? Are they about where you hope they would be?
As far as us or
– as far as us.
Us. You know, I feel good about it. We've done a lot of really good things against some, you know, high-quality opponents. And you know, being ranked, both of them, and us, you know, doing some things that we did. Again, you know, if you're just looking at it from the sidelines and you just look at the score of Florida State, you're like, oh, my gosh, you know, we're terrible. And it was a blowout. There's no doubt about it. But, man, there was a lot of good things to take from there and to work on and improve on, mistakes to fix and, you know, be able to do those, you know, this week, get them behind us and, you know, put a good product on the field and having to travel to Grambling and you know, we got to get going. We got to learn how to win faster. You know, we came along late last year, and which was good. And I feel like we're still reeling on that confidence from last year as well. A lot of new faces. I definitely feel like we are better on both sides of the ball and special teams, all three phases. Has it, you know, shown just yet? Yes, it has, actually, and in a lot of different ways. But I think it'll show even more now with opponent more of, you know, our talent level.
And you've got guys that totally understand this.
Yes.
I mean, they're not freshmen. They haven't not been through this before. They just did it somewhere else and maybe at a different level.
They understand that, you know, when you're in FCS or any level, you're going to play up, you know, and that's just part of the game. And, you know, it's just what it is. And I think everybody's enjoyed those two games. And now we're
such
ready
as they can.
Is it right? Right. Yes. You know, obviously the loss, you don't enjoy that, but enjoy the moment, enjoy to being on the big stage in front of, you know, big crowds and relish that. Now it's time to, to pull up our big boy pants and go put the work in and go get some wins.
We've talked a ton about the offense. But how's Jack's defense? How are they holding up? Is that, are they getting their new system? I mean, he's the new guy, so
yeah,
it's going to be a little different.
Yeah, I mean, it's they're close. I mean, they really are. You know, we talked about our fits, you know, off the air and mm-hmm. how we didn't fit in a lot of spots when we're talking about fitting into your gap and using your eyes and communicating with each other. And all the big plays in both games came from lack of execution, of not being in your position, your gap, and not communicating, and your eyes getting you in trouble, those mm-hmm. type things. And, you know, talent-wise, we feel like we're as good as we were last year, if not better already. Has it shown? No. And we cut the big plays and can, you know, again, lock in, and you see those moments where we do lock in. And I've been really impressed with our fourth and shorts. I mean, we stopped them, what, twice in SMU?
Right.
We had two stops the other night, with exception of the penalties, you know, which I'm very pleased with that. You know, I asked Jack, I said, well, dang, why can't we just do that on first and second down? You know, you go, it's a little bit different. you know, they're stacking the box, so are we. So, you know, no, I like where we're heading. And, again, I think we're a little more healthy on the defensive side. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously losing Kyrie on that first drive hurt us and moved people around into different spots. We didn't have to, you know, didn't have to do that. I feel like we would have gave a better, little bit of a stand on defense.
So barring anything happening in practice, we're going to get most of the guys back that are hurt. There's a couple we know that are going to be out.
Yep.
Tight end's kind of been
it's the bug this year.
It's been the target. Yeah. We've lost we're down to our fourth or fifth?
Right. Four have been out. And yeah. we're down to our fifth. He was not our fifth, but, you know, he was in the mix of two or three, you know, in there too. But, you know, we're just, when we'd like to go 12 package, which is two tight ends, you know, we're really scrambling to find that guy. We've got a freshman in Reed Thornberry who played six-man football, played snaps the other night against Florida State. His eyes were a little bit open to the real world of college football.
I did not know he was a six-man guy.
Yeah, so, you know, and then we've got a six-pack. We're bringing an extra offensive lineman. That's been our 12 package, and we put a little bit of it in SMU and did a little bit more of it this past week, which is, you know, a good package to have. But, you know, you can't just live and die in that, and you lose a big part of your pass game when, you know, you're having to do that because you're not throwing the ball to a tackle.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, sometimes those tackles are gifted and talented.
No question. No, they don't have the number to catch it a lot of times.
That's right.
So.
That's right. All right, man. Well, Coach, great job on the guys. I mean, y'all, there's nobody that's gone through FBS competition this year or any that I can recall like the Lions have.
No, I'm proud of the guys.
Now we get to really – now it's go.
Yep.
Grambling is somebody you're fighting for a playoff spot with against.
Right,
North Carolina Central will be the same thing.
Yes, sir.
And they're expected to win the MEAC, so they're going to be ready to go when they get here from North Carolina.
No doubt. No doubt. Can't wait to see them.
I know. It'll be great. All right, folks. Hey, thanks again for tuning in to another week's episode of Inside Lion Athletics. Can't wait to do it again. We'll see you next week.